It seems like there is just a ton of therapists on the market looking for jobs. And other times it's like trying to find anybody with a pulse and a license that will come and work, and you just can't.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kate Walker. I'm a marriage and family therapist, practice owner, and professor of counselor education who took a passion for training the next generation of mental health providers and turned it into a multi six-figure business that designs the courses that teach mental health providers how to be clinical supervisors. Teaching graduate students and seasoned counselors, I learned about the fears. Fears about failing, quitting toxic work environments where you're seeing 80 clients a week, fears about starting a private practice, running out of money, getting in trouble by the licensing board, the IRS, you name it. I created the Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses community so mental health providers like you could have a step-by-step guide and learn actionable steps to achieve the security, freedom, and satisfaction of a counseling career you'll love. Look, you had the dream to become a mental health professional. You got the degree, you took the exams, you put in the time, whatever your business is, a private practice, maybe you want to sell courses like I do, you're adding clinical supervision, you want to write a book or get paid to speak, whatever it is, you are too important to your community to lose to getting in trouble, giving up, going broke, and burning out. Are you ready to break through those fears once and for all? I thought so. Let's get to work.
Welcome to Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses, where it's all about working smarter, not harder. And here's your host, Dr. Kate Walker,
who prefers road trips.
My friend and colleague, Jeff Gallup, owner of Mansfield Counseling in Mansfield, Texas, is an amazing resource for practice owners who are ready to grow. And what a lot of practice owners don't understand is if you don't have systems that scale with you, it can get you in trouble. Jeffrey understands that, and he does an amazing job of communicating that every time I ask him to speak. I'm really excited about this expert interview today because Jeff is going to talk about how to make sure you're able to scale your systems from just you and your little solo practice to many. I mean, even if you don't plan on hiring someday, you're going to grow. Your community is going to count on you, and your systems need to grow with you. And Jeff is going to tell us how to do that. Don't forget, if you're a Step It Up member, this goes into your training module. So check your Kate Walker training profile. If you're interested in the membership, check it out about halfway through the episode. I've got a deal for you. All right, let's get to work. Jeffrey is not only a group practice owner, he's one of our admins on Texas Supervisor Coalition and Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses. And I've heard him present about helping new associates who are interested in private practice. And so I know Jeffrey knows his stuff because I depend on Jeffrey. Jeffrey knows his stuff.
Okay, so talking about group practice, it seems that a lot of people feel like it's a natural evolution. You start off in private practice in a solo capacity. You stick your shingle out there. You start networking and building up a referral base, and you start getting busier and busier. And after a while, you begin to realize that, wow, I can't keep seeing 30 clients a week and be sustainable with that. Maybe I should hire somebody or bring somebody in or expand and give some of my clients to an employee or a contractor or whatever. And so for a lot of people, it seems to be a natural step. But the question is, how do you do it and do it successfully? And my big thing on how I feel like I did it successfully is I didn't do it successfully the first time. So I'm actually running my second group. My first one, I had hired two people. Things got weird and didn't work out. And very suddenly, I found myself back in solo practice. waited a few more years, got some more business knowledge, figured a few things out, and then decided to try and do the group thing a second time. And second time around has been much more successful. My longest employee has been with me for almost 8 years now. And most of my employees have been with me 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Just I've been both lucky and worked hard to keep people that have come to work for me and to build systems that work for all of us. So I think the big reason for group practice is obviously one of the things that as therapists, we all shy away from talking about, and that's money. Group practices are a way of building a business and building something that is profitable and that can eventually hopefully become something bigger than ourselves that we can either sell and retire on the proceeds or work to decrease our own workload because other people are carrying that workload for us. They're at least seeing all the clients and, you know, we can be more selective in the clients we want to see, or we get our free time back. It used to be I worked Monday through Saturday, pretty much 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And Saturday I was back here at the office at 7 a.m. until 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't do that anymore, thankfully. I've got people that come work for me on Saturdays and use up all my space. So to me, those are the two biggies.
Let me ask you something, because I know in the title it says scaling from one to many. And as a new practice owner or group practice curious person, maybe attending tonight, what do you mean by scaling? What do you mean by scaling a system? Like, what exactly is that concept? And maybe you can give us an example of one.
Okay. Yeah. So scaling is making sure that you've created systems that work for everybody in your practice. When you're in solo practice, you can do things however you want to do things within ethical bounds and limits and all that. You can pick the EHR that you want to work with because it's the one you like the best, or you can use your cell phone as your phone system. And you don't have to worry about how anybody else in your practice is going to take phone calls because you're the only person that does phone calls. But when you start to hire clinicians, those clinicians, counselors, or their clients are going to want to speak to them, are going to want to be able to reschedule, and are going to want to be able to ask their counselor questions. So if you keep just using your own cell phone or your one lone practice phone line, you are now also the receptionist and operator and have to deal with every single call. And that becomes a real problem. So scaling is figuring out the system that you want to use that will work effectively. Example, if somebody calls and they want to speak to one of my counselors, I need a phone system where they can do that without me having to take that phone call or having to route it. And creating or purchasing in or working with systems that will genuinely let you run your practice efficiently. Being the receptionist as a group owner, you wear every hat from janitor to CEO. But the more systems you have in place where other people can do things that they can obviously do, take phone calls, reschedule things, that kind of stuff, it'll save you a lot of time and a lot of effort. And I see a couple of questions so far on phone systems. There's a lot out there. RingCentral, Zoom just popped up as suggestions. The one I like is called Spruce Health, and I just sent that out.
You know, something while I mentioned, or I want to mention while you're doing that, when I was the liaison to the LPC board for TASES, when the complaints hearings were open, one thing that there was a complaint that struck me, it was a client who had filed a complaint against their therapist because the therapist didn't have any openings in their calendar. Now, that was unfounded. Nothing happened. It was all, you're right, it all came out okay. But I could imagine this was a solo practitioner who was trying to field all the calls, right? And then they start getting busy. And then the next thing you know, they're booked 3 months out. And this client who started with them weekly, you know, if they lost their spot, now they felt maybe abandoned. Maybe they've got their feelings hurt. And the therapist, you know, poor guy, he was busy. So there is an ethical component from scaling one to many as well, right?
Yeah, because if you're ignoring your clients from missing calls or something happens and you don't address an issue, then yeah, people get upset, they get mad. You know, no different than you or I, when we call a business or a doctor, we want a call back. And, you know, if we don't get a call back for a couple of days, we get irritated and we call again, and we need to be on top of that. So having a good phone system in place will take care of that immensely. So Spruce Health is the one we use. And in fact, it's pretty solid to the point where we don't really even need a receptionist. We all just pretty much handle our own phone calls at this point in my practice, and we don't need somebody that just does phone calls. There are some days that are busy, but we almost always get every phone call returned that day or the next day. So we're pretty on top of it. Spruce can do phone trees where they call one number, they press a button, and it rings to your counselor. It does virtual appointments, faxes, it's HIPAA compliant, all that wonderful stuff that we all need and want to have. And you can port phone numbers to it. So if you've already got a phone number in place for your business, porting your phone number over to it is pretty easy. So that's why one of the things that I did to, like I said, scale was use Spruce. Yes, somebody asked if I'm saying that Spruce will reroute a call to each therapist so they can answer their own calls. Yes, that's exactly how it works. It's just like calling a doctor's office, and you press 2 to speak to Jeff and press 3 to speak to whoever and whatnot.
Douglas wants to know if you've had any experience with a virtual assistant to help with scheduling or scaling.
Not yet, to be honest. I haven't really felt the need for that. For new client calls, we all take turns within the practice to field the new client calls. And I don't remember how much it is because it's based on quantity. And that's something also to think, keep in mind with scaling, is when you're looking to buy into a system, an EHR or a phone system or anything, you want to look at the pricing. A lot of companies do pricing that's based on the amount of employees you have. And so you want that kind of thing instead of the flat rate, oh, it's $200 a month. Well, if you've got yourself and one other person, is $200 a month actually profitable in the end of things? Or would it be better to have a system that, you know, charges you $10 per clinician? And so it's $20 to start, but by the time you have 10 clinicians, it's now $200 a month. And that's always the thing that I would say that you should look for with EHR, face email systems, phone systems, really anything like that. Look for staggered pricing.
Are people listing their EMR systems? It looks like Ashlyn wanted folks to list some EMR systems. Jeffrey, do you feel like there's kind of a tipping point? Like, okay, here I am, a solo person. Maybe I bring in somebody to take Tuesdays because I hate Tuesdays and I don't want to work on Tuesdays. And, or, you know, suddenly my schedule's full. Like, there's a tipping point for these sort of cobbled together things. And then, oh my gosh, I got to get serious and buy some licenses and spend some money. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like, what comes first, drop in the cash, or do you have to have a waiting list? Or how did you do it? How did you know when it was time to get these bigger systems?
Yeah. So my recommendation, first things first, is always have strong cash flow, have a growing demand for your practice. Yeah, so when you're hitting that point where you're turning calls away or you're turning people away because you cannot fill your calendar any further, then that's the time to really move from solo to group or to hire another person. And that's how we have done it, is to build our caseloads so that they're full caseloads for what we consider full. And then we wait a little bit to make sure that they stay full and that there's not some kind of just random glitch and that they're overbooked somehow. And then we hire. So I saw another question, contractors or W-2s, and then setting yourself up when you're in solo to go to group. W-2s versus contractors gets debated all the time. And in our two groups, or get brought up often. 1099 contractor, you really have to change your mindset that they are not your employee. You are contracting with their solo practice to come help your solo practice. So you're hiring the business of that counselor to come contract with your practice. So you don't do anything with their taxes. They're in charge of their taxes. There's a 22-point checklist that you got to run through with the IRS to make sure that they are really, really a contractor. And it's a pretty high bar to hop through. And I think that it's only going to get harder to qualify somebody as a contractor. On the other hand, a W-2 is your employee. You can tell them when to show up to work. You can tell them what systems to use. The initial scary cost as a group practice owner is I have to pay them and their taxes and all this other stuff. And that can be scary looking at that number, which I go back to make sure that you have a strong cash flow coming in, that you're not just making it month to month, even though you're really busy. And that's where having another system in place is really important, some kind of accounting system. A lot of people here in the therapy world like Profit First. And in fact, it was literally just released like last week. And it's a great system. I've been using it for years to help me keep all of my accounting and stuff straight. So,
Jeffrey says, what are some ways that a solo practitioner can set its foundation to prepare for a group once ready? This is a tough question, right? I mean, how do you prepare? To me, it's like building a plane in flight. and you're not supposed to do that, but.
Yeah, sometimes it feels like that you're out there working on the wing and you're 20,000 feet in the air and hoping that you're doing the right thing. I think the very, very, very first fundamental thing is make sure the system that you have in place is your accounting and knowing money that's coming in, money that is going out. You can't hire somebody if you don't know what you can pay them. You know, I see it already in the chat. What's a fair wage for a W-2? And I would tell you that every single one of us is going to have a different answer for you. But the only way to really know what you can afford is to know what your accounting shows you at the end of the day. You may be seeing 30 clients a week, but you're only making $50 a session just for a random number. Well, yeah, you feel busy, but are you profitable? And just because you feel busy does not necessarily mean that you should hire somebody. If you're not making enough overhead to support hiring somebody, then you'll end up hiring them and make the mistake I made that very first practice that imploded. I was paying them one thing and then I got about a better part of a year into it and realized, you know, I had hired two people, but I'm still taking home the same amount of money at the end of the day that I had been when I was in solo practice. So why did I hire anybody? Because now I've got the headache of managing, but I'm not making anything more. And so I made the mistake of going back to them and saying, hey guys, I messed up. So I'm going to need to start paying y'all less so that I can be more profitable. They did not like that and they quit.
You are not the only one, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear so many people, and you probably do too, and they're like, I need to hire more people. I want to help more people. And they haven't even looked at their bottom line to see what their goal is. Okay, do you want to bring home six figures? Do you want to take Fridays off? You know, it's that failure to plan that gets you in that bind. You know, I've heard of therapists like, they're paying their therapists out of their own pocket because they don't want to fire them or they don't want to back out of the mistake they made. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah, it's a hard one and it can get emotional because, you know, you develop a friendly relationship with your employees, hopefully, and you get to that point where at the end of the month, if you're not making enough money and you have to start paying them out of your own pocket, that's not really good. So if you're in solo practice, I would suggest before you do anything else, sit down and figure out profitability. And are you legitimately profitable enough to bring somebody in? And by knowing what your profit level is and what you want to achieve, makes it much easier to decide, I'm willing to pay this amount of money to somebody. And that decision then can be based on business. It's just dollars and cents and not driven by, I have 16 kids and I need a new car, so I'm going to ask you for a $100,000 raise this year. Well, I don't have $100,000 to give you this year. Not going to happen.
Or your waiting list. A lot of therapists, I think they're driven, I've got this waiting list, so I have to hire. No, no, you don't.
No, there's plenty of us. You don't have to hire. That person will go down the road to the next counselor. And I know that that can be a little painful at first, but it's better in the long run to pass on a client than make an emotional decision and hire somebody and then either have them quit on you and or have to let them go.
Another foundational thing I want to mention is the policy and procedures, because once you bring in someone, you have to set policy and procedures, especially your surrounding HIPAA and all that good stuff. And Ashley Hubbard's going to talk about that May 25th at 7 p.m. So if you want to know more about policy and procedures, tune in then. Membership, shmembership. Why would anyone want to join a membership? Because you're sick and tired of trying to find great information that will help you start your career, grow a practice, stay out of trouble, and oh, by the way, not be boring and outdated. You already know I specialize in helping you grow your skill set and career with quality courses on demand that people actually want to finish. But why should you have to pay for every single resource I offer? Let me introduce the Step It Up membership. Step It Up members have access to over 50 trainings on everything from preparing your accounts for tax season to using SEO to improve your Google rankings, writing a book, staying HIPAA compliant, to learning how to create a press kit if you want to start public speaking. You also get access to over 25 courses that you can use as continuing education and that meet the new Texas 50% from an approved provider rule. Are you a supervisor looking for a consultation group? Step It Up members get free tickets to the Texas Supervisor Coalition monthly live consultation group featuring great speakers and incredible up-to-the-minute information to keep your license safe. Feel overwhelmed by lots of choices and want an interactive training with a real live person? I've got you covered. Step It Up members get weekly live training with me every single week. And did I mention that Step It Uppers get a coupon for $100 off the 40-hour training to become an LPC or LMFT supervisor in Texas? Yeah, you get that too. You're the one working your butt off, sweating through the summer, corralling kids, and facing slumps in your client load. I want to help. All summer long, I'm offering a 50% discount on the annual and monthly plan for the Step It Up membership. No contracts, and if you don't like it, quit anytime you like, but you're gonna love it. You are too important to lose because you pay too much for online courses, you sat through expensive, boring live trainings, and you got suckered into long-term commitments with memberships that just didn't deliver. It's time to take the next step in your counseling career. And it's super easy to do. Just go to katewalkertraining.com/podcast. That's katewalkertraining.com/podcast. But you gotta act fast. This is going away as soon as the summer ends. So get the discount, get the resources, and take your practice to the next level. I'll see you on the inside. So yeah. Money and policies.
Yeah. So somebody asked, do I recommend hiring one clinician at a time? I do, right at your starting out, because that gives you some time to figure out how you want to do things, what policies and procedures you want in place, how you want to build your systems, and you don't get overwhelmed with management decisions and management issues. I made that mistake last summer. I said yes to taking on 3 students at the same time. And about a month into the summer, after I had said that, I was just going bananas with the amount of calls and texts from the students, because there were 3 of them all shooting me questions at the same time. And it was just too much for me. Then thankfully they were practicum students and it wasn't a very long situation, but it's not one that I would get into again without having some better systems and better plans in place. I have a clinical director now that I would probably have told them, go ask her so I can work on my stuff. So yeah, when starting off, one person at a time after you've got two or three people that are working for you and everything is clicking and jiving, and you still feel that need and you have the profitability and the access to hiring more, then, you know, go to it. But just know that with each additional person that you hire, that's a whole nother person's worth of questions that they're going to ask about policies and procedures, or who's going to need something and that's going to take up time. And so just know what that all is involved. The next big thing that I usually get is, how do you find good clinicians? And that can be really hard. Sometimes it seems like there is just a ton of therapists on the market looking for jobs. And other times it's like trying to find anybody with a pulse and a license that will come and work, and you just can't. And I feel like there's three good ways, or three viable ways, to finding good clinicians. My favorite one is growing your own. I like taking students and then helping them become associates, supervising them through their associate time, and then keeping them on as fully licensed clinicians. In fact, 7 out of my 10 either started as students or associates with me. One, my actual clinical director that's been with me for 8 years, she came to work for me like 3 days after getting her full license, and just helped her grow into the role that she's in. And when you do it that way, you know what kind of training that person has had, because you're the one that probably did the training. You know that they fit with you, that they're compatible, that they are good workers, because if they weren't, you probably would have let them go at some point in that process of being a student. You've been like, nah, we don't have room to take you on as an associate. Or somewhere in the associate time, you would have said, okay, you need to grow this way to be a better counselor. So growing your own is a really effective way of making sure that you have good counselors. And my suggestion there is, reach out to your local universities and offer to be a site for students. It does not take much. And often those universities will have a continuing ed on supervision that they'll want you to take and go through, so you can supervise their students. So it's another way to get your continuing ed hours for your supervision.
And Jeffrey, you don't have to be an LPCS to do that, right? I mean, you just have to take their course, or you have to have the relationship with them. But
yeah, you can be just a regular LPC to do that. You don't have to be a supervisor. So you can start growing your own pretty immediately in that sense. There's always like Indeed, Monster, ZipRecruiter, all of those. The pro is you can get a lot of resumes that way. The con is you will get a lot of people that think you mean camp counselor, not LPC. I can't tell you how many times I've clicked on a resume and I've read through it. I'm like, oh, this person thinks I'm looking for camp counselors. That's weird. Trash, and move on. The other problem with Indeed or Monster, Zip, any of those, is as the employer, you pay to put your ad on there. That's how they can make their money. And it doesn't cost the people looking for jobs all that much. ZipRecruiter and Indeed can get really expensive really fast. So I tend to say use that as kind of the last resort, in that you haven't found anybody, try that. My third one is networking. You know, groups like the Supervisor Coalition and Badass Business Groups, fantastic for networking and getting to know people. People move all over the state all the time. I just had a clinician, she moved to Colorado, and just through networking some people that I know in Colorado, she landed in Colorado and went right into a job without any problem. So knowing people in the field, it's another great way. Post on the Wednesdays when the, you know, associate wanted post goes up, share with your counseling friends, hey, I'm looking for somebody to hire. I'm about to grow into a group. It's a great way. The other part of that networking is, if you've got people that are working for you already, ask them who they would recommend as a potential hire, figuring that I figure if it's somebody they like enough that they would want to keep working with them in another job, and I like my person that I've hired, chances are that it's going to be a good fit. So use all those resources there. Add slowly and keep checking that profitability when you add and make sure to follow up with it. It's very easy to look at, oh, my client, my counselors are all full. They're busy seeing folks, but, you know, are they collecting the co-pays they need to be collecting? Are they billing the right amount? Are they charging for the no-show fees? And those kind of things are easy places for there to be bleeding into your profitability. You look at the calendar and, wow, we have 200 clients scheduled this week. But if you only collect on 100 of them, well, that's half of what you actually thought you were going to earn or make. So that's another system to have in place, is to watch what's going on with your counselors, not just that they're full and busy, but are they full and busy? And is each one of them doing what you need to do? So build dashboards and look at things like KPIs or key performance indicators. And there's a couple of different places out there on the internet where you can grab dashboards. And what that is you take your data, you stick it in the dashboard, and at the end of it, you should see charts and graphs that will show you things like each clinician is averaging 30 sessions per week, or this clinician's client retention ratio is really poor. And so you can then address those problems and tweak those things. So,
can we talk a second about fee splitting, flat fees? Shauna had a system kind of where she paid by however many hours. So there are lots of different ways to pay therapists. So
yes.
Can you talk to that just a minute? I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, keep it as simple as you possibly can so that they can track how much money they're making and they don't have to bother you with that every week. I used to pay percentage of what we collected, and one of my counselors would call me on Tuesdays and Fridays and ask me how much we had collected for her. And so then she could do all the math and figure out exactly how much she had been making every like couple of days. And we had all kinds of different tiers for, you saw this many, we collected this much, so you get this percentage. And it became very unwieldy very quickly. So whatever you do, keep it simple, either simple enough that you understand it or simple enough that you and your counselor can understand it. But there are a multitude of different ways to pay counselors.
The one thing I want to talk about with ethics, though, where it gets dicey, and we've probably talked about this at least with the Texas Supervisor Coalition, is when your therapist charge different amounts. Like if you have a therapist that charges $50 and then another therapist that charges $100 and another therapist that charges $200. Well, if you're charging a fee split and everybody, like let's say you're doing a 70-30 split, well, obviously, you're going to make more money from the one charging more money, right? You're going to make more from the $200 charger. Well, that can start to get into some ethical gray areas, right? So the fee splitting, I just encourage you to do some Googling, do some research into the fee splitting, and you would want to put in your policy and procedures things like, I don't know if you ever did this, Jeffrey, I did. I made a rule that everybody had to charge within 10% of each other, unless they were an associate or a grad student, of course. But, you know, if you're fully licensed, everybody had to stay within 10% of each other to never, ever give the impression that the house was somehow going to be shooting referrals to the person I would get paid the most for, right?
Yeah.
It's that kickback rule. So, yes, there are tons of ways to pay therapists, but we have to stick to that medical model as opposed to like the hair salon model or other models, right?
Yeah. The method I particularly use, I have a combination of just salary and hourly. So if somebody is very part-time, we pay them a flat hourly fee, or not fee, a flat hourly rate for the sessions that they see. And then my other folks are just a salary, and they're getting paid that salary each month, no matter what. And so that way it actually makes it very easy for me to budget, because then I know month to month what I'm going to be paying. They know month to month what they're going to be receiving. So nobody has any real big headaches. But again, that can be a little scary as a group practice beginner, in that, how am I going to have that amount of money to be able to pay them? And that's, again, where I go back to when you're still solo, making sure that you build accounting systems and that you look for ways to increase profitability if it's not as profitable as you want to be. When does having to provide health insurance come into play if you have employees? I think somewhere around 25 employees, but I don't remember exactly how many that is. But that's something that you could find by looking at the Texas Workforce Commission or giving the Texas Workforce Commission a call. And they'll be more than glad to tell you how to stay legal beagle with things like that. But at least when you are starting out, you don't have to worry about providing benefits and that kind of stuff. At least not to start with. Now, as you.
And it's like a certain number of years, too, right? Like if they're with you 3 years or something, I don't know. We have Ask a Lawyer coming up in June. So sign up for that.
Yeah, that might be a good Ask the Lawyer type of question. And then the other thing I would say, as we're kind of getting to a close here, is work really hard to avoid shiny object syndrome. As the group owner, you are going to get bombarded over time with all kinds of offers and ideas. And, you know, hey, we see that you're a big enough business and you're now qualified for this blah, blah, blah loan. Or, hey, we have an amazing fax service. If you'll change to us, we can do whatever for your practice. Go slow and avoid buying into the newest and latest and the greatest until you really have slept on it, taken your time, and worked through, do I need a brand new phone system? Do I need to buy 10 new computers for my counselors? Or, you know, do I really need Spruce? Or can I get away with using Ring Central or whatever? Just because it's new and cool and, you know, they say it's good for your practice, really go slow and don't do that, because I have seen other people who have blown through their budgets buying all the new shiny latest greatest stuff, and they've got a pile of stuff but they don't have much in the way of a practice. So avoid shiny object syndrome. I'm guilty of it. A new Mac comes out, I'm drooling, and I should know better.
So I'm going to talk for a second about this. Just because it is on the board's radar, some practice owners are taking the name, they're playing a name game. And I'm addressing, how do LPC associates get to take insurance? How do you pay LPC associates? That kind of thing. When your grad student graduates and before they become an LPC associate, they're kind of a nothing. They're a barista. They're a bartender. They work at Ace Hardware, right? They are what they are until they get a license. So if you try to say, like, you know, you're a fairy godmother and you're like, poof, you're a coach. Now I'm going to pay you like a coach, or poof, you're a skills trainer. So I'm going to charge insurance for that, or I'm going to, don't do that. If your grad student is intending to be an LPC associate, then that no man's land that takes maybe 3 weeks tops. I mean, I'm hearing it's less, way less than 3 weeks now. Just give them some filing to do, you know, have them take your dry cleaning somewhere, wash your car. But for that 3 weeks, they are not in anything. Once they become an LPC associate, we are hearing, and I know my admins are hearing, you know, through the grapevine, and I'm sure you guys are too, insurances are slowly like, hey, yeah, we might panel you on insurances individuals. We might let groups, you know, include you in their group policies or their credentials. But you need to read those contracts really, really, really carefully. Don't just take somebody's word for it. Make sure you look at the contract if you're going to use insurance. Now, the exception, it's not even an exception, I just did that to get your attention, is the super bill, right? A super bill is something your LPC associate or grad student even can hand to the client, and then it's on the client to go get reimbursed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I know they're not going to get reimbursed. I mean, my grad student, my LPC associate knows they're not going to get reimbursed. So if you want to train that in your onboarding for those grad students, LPC associates, hand the client a super bill, then they can go attempt to get reimbursed. That's a possibility. But Yeah, don't play that game of, you know, I'm going to call them a thing just to get them paid by such and such insurance.
Yeah, you'll end up in a whole world of hurt.
And Amanda, that's a really good question. Does anyone have any recommendations on where to learn more about incident to billing? I'm hearing more and more about that. It's just so doggone new. I'm kind of hoping the insurance companies themselves will hold some seminars on it, maybe.
I'm with Kate on that. I think your best answer on how to do incident to billing, call the insurance company and ask them how to do it, would probably be the best way. And make sure you read those contracts very, very, very carefully so that you know all the ins and outs. And then the other thing that I see kind of going through the chat is using a payroll system or payroll service. Definitely use a payroll service. Gusto, QuickBooks, Paychex, there's a bunch of them. I just saw that a couple of us were like, Gusto is the one we use, and Gusto is great. They link up with your bank accounts. You go in a couple of days before the end of the month or whenever your pay period is, click to pay your counselors. Pretty much I just go click, 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 click. And then, yes, I approve it. Yes, I really, really approve it. And they're paid. And it takes care of paying your counselors, but it also takes care of paying the taxes that you're responsible for as the employer. And that is the big deal with using one of those payroll systems. I had a situation where the state somehow transposed my numbers on one of my accounts. And a couple of years later said, hey, you haven't been paying any of your state required taxes on your employees. Here's your humongous bill. You need to pay it immediately. And thankfully, because I was using Gusto, I was able to call them and say, hey, look, this happened. They figured out that somewhere a number got transposed. They took care of everything with the state and got it all straightened out. And biggest part for me was just the headache of having to make some phone calls. So definitely use a payroll system. Don't try and wing payroll on your own. It's just not worth it.
All right. You've got another thing coming up too. You're doing an assessment workshop, right? And I think it's full. Yep. Do you think you'll be doing it again?
Yeah, we have one seat left for my assessments workshop coming up in August. But yeah, I mean, we filled up so quickly. I'm definitely going to be doing it again.
Yeah, because counselors want to do assessments and we want to get paid for it.
Yeah. And I will teach you all how to do the assessments and get paid and make sure that it's a profitable part of your practice.
Hey, badasses, we can all agree that counselors want a path to a successful counseling career, but that means you have to find quality training. That's not even the real barrier. The real problem is a lot of information can be overwhelming and you, my badass, are busy. So you're probably asking yourself, how can I improve my practice while still caring for people? How do I grow my skill set, become a supervisor, without losing my work-life balance? How do I find quality training that won't cost too much time and money? Bottom line, counselors who want a successful counseling career value the goal of growing their skill set and even becoming a supervisor, but at the same time struggle with finding time to attend quality courses. Counselors can't overcome this barrier because so many times courses with tempting titles overpromise and underperform. Let me ask you something. What if there were courses that delivered exactly what they promised, that didn't take a lot of time, and didn't break the bank? That's exactly the kind of course we design at Kate Walker Training. I specialize in helping you grow your skill set and career with quality courses on demand. And we have so many to choose from. If you're asking yourself, where do I go if I want to sustain my practice and grow my marketing presence? Well, check out the Step It Up membership. What do you do if you're ready to pay it forward and add streams of income? Well, check out the supervisor training. See if you're eligible. If you're looking for an experience that's more hands-on, keep an eye out for open enrollment for Badass Basics and our exclusive mastermind groups. I'm Dr. Kate Walker. Thank you so much for listening to Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses. Thank you to Ridgely Walker for her lovely voiceovers at our introduction. And do me a favor, when you get a second, please like, share, and subscribe, and write us a review. That's really how we get picked up by other RSS feeds, and we get this information out to the mental health badasses who need it. Thanks again, and keep saving the world with excellent therapy.